305. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WR. Let's try that again, shall we? All right. There's a button somewhere, I swear to you. We got it. Yes. All right. It is 3:05, and it is Wednesday, and it is rainy, and it is all of that good stuff, and there you have it. And now, I don't know whether to say congratulations or apologies, but now you can hear me. Ooh, sorry, or not sorry, or whatever the case might be. It is Wednesday. We've got a lot that is going on. Please bear that in mind. Barry Moore, a good friend from the Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia, is going to be along at 3:35. Barry joins us, I think, is it every Wednesday now, right? And we just talk about what is going on in the business sector, how you can stay safe, how I can stay safe, so you can deal with people who are actually accredited by the Better Business Bureau. That's an important thing if you're looking for contractors or other folks to do work in your home. We've got William Burnett joining us. The election for sheriff in the city of Richmond is at this point taking on such vital overtones and undertones and importance. It is crucial. And the fact that you and I may not live in the city of Richmond should not take us away from having interest in what happens in this particular race. We may or may not care about some city council race in the city of Richmond, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. If you don't live in that particular neighborhood, it probably doesn't impact you in a big way. Now, there are exceptions. I always refer to my I almost said old, and I don't mean that, Reva. My longtime dear friend, Reva Trammell, who represents the 8th district on the south side of town. She's a fighter, always has been a fighter, and on behalf of law enforcement and firefighting and EMS and all the good stuff, man, I'm telling you, the schools. She's on the public safety committee, and you know, she can't get any answers from the sheriff's office. In fact, nobody can get any answers from the sheriff's office, which is why this election has taken on such importance. The Richmond City Sheriff's Office is an absolute, utter, unmitigated disaster. It absolutely is. There's nothing that goes right at the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. It is a boondoggle. Waste of money, waste of effort. When you take a look at how far over budget they are, your head's going to spin. When you look at how unbelievably understaffed they are, you start thinking, no, that's got to be a typo. It's an error. Somebody just forgot to put in a... No, it's not. When you take a look at the inmate deaths inside the Richmond City Jail, you realize, wow, it is just screwed up top to bottom. And at the very top is the sheriff, Dr. Antoinette Irving, who has been there for 8 years and has run the place into the ground. It's such an embarrassment, it's an abomination what she has done. Now, the folks in the city of Richmond have one opportunity now to save that agency. Maybe you don't care, and if you don't, then by all means, reelect the same grossly incompetent woman who's been there as the sheriff for the last 8 years. If you actually care at all, then you can't possibly be on her team. You've got two options, right? I'm not even talking about the election. I'm saying there are those people who care about public safety first and foremost. Okay, I'm right there with you. You want to make sure that the deputy sheriffs who work for the Richmond City Sheriff's Office are safe and secure, do you not? I mean, it's a dangerous job they have, and there's no taking away the danger. It's always going to be there. But you can mitigate that danger. You can have the correct training and you can have the correct staffing. She has neither in place at the moment. So if you yourself work as a deputy, you know how dangerous it is and you know how actively you're looking to leave the city sheriff's office. Guarantee you, right now you're looking at other opportunities. if you have a relative or a friend or a neighbor who works for the Richmond City Sheriff's Office, you probably don't want them to get hurt. You'd probably like them to be as safe as is possible working at the Richmond City Jail. You can't possibly support her. You might be on the other side of this. You might be thinking, you know what? I don't know. Anybody who's a deputy, not really my concern. They took the job, blah, blah, blah. However, I got a relative who is locked up at the Richmond City Jail. I've got a neighbor who's an inmate. I've got a friend. I've got myself. Oh, well, maybe it's you. Maybe you're locked up there and you're thinking, God, I hope I survive. I'm only here for a week or two. But I don't know that I'm going to make it out of here alive. Because you know if you're an inmate at the Richmond City Jail, you already know. It's the very worst of the inmates who actually are running that place now with the sheriff that we have in place there. You got a family member who's locked up at the Richmond City Jail? You care about him? Well, I'm here to tell you, they're in grave danger. And the record reflects that. And I wish that weren't so. I'm not sitting here telling you I'm all of a sudden a big booster of people who have committed crimes. That's not the case. However, I am a fan of humanity. I care about my fellow human beings. And I'd like everybody who's locked up down there, whether you're there as a guest of the city or you're there as an employee of the sheriff, I'd like you to be safe as is humanly possible. So we'll talk about it. We've got William Burnett joining us at 5:05. And one of the reasons I asked if he would come on, not just his campaign for sheriff, but the fact there seems to be an organized effort to rip down his signs in the city. I saw a story come across the other day that 100 of the William Burnett for Sheriff signs had been taken down. So we're going to have William Burnett on at 5:05 to talk about that. I want to know, is he pursuing criminal action? I hope so. If they know who's taken those signs down, I hope that William Burnett is pursuing criminal charges against them. And I'd like to go a step further. If the Richmond Police Department is looking into this, and I would imagine they are, I would like to know whether there was any involvement other than the people who just took down the signs. In other words, you might have a handful of goofballs who said, well, we're just going to rip down some campaign signs because we just feel like it. But the photo did not seem to show that these folks had any signs except William Burnett for Sheriff signs. Are there no other campaign signs in the city at the moment? If you just want to rip down signs, wouldn't that be the sort of thing you would want to do, just rip down signs? So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. And I am hoping, again, if RPD is on the case, then I would like to know whether there was any outside involvement. Was there somebody, I mean, I hate to think it, but was there somebody in the other campaign who was saying, hey, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? Sure hope that's not the case. I really do. I really hope that's not the case. One of the other things we'll be talking about in just a moment is a judge in the city of Richmond who, by the accounts of multiple police officers, is a racist and engages in all sorts of racist behavior directed towards Richmond police officers who are in his court. Well, that is problematic, don't you think? At the very least, would we call it? I think at the very least, we would call it problematic. We would have to acknowledge that there's a problem there. So I will share some of the details about that in a moment as well. So, Barry Moore's coming up. William Burnett's coming up. A couple of other great folks are going to be here. Oh, I know I had mentioned yesterday that I was going to be on with Rich Herrera this morning on Richmond's Morning News. And I know you tuned in at 8:05 just like I was supposed to be. Well, I mean, I did tune in. Don't know. I'm not blaming the... I was there. But there was apparently one of those double bookings. Germ, have you heard of this? You know, I don't think it's ever happened on this program where there's ever been an error on either side of this. But apparently, hey, it happens elsewhere, Jeremy. No, it's good to it's good to be aware of it. And I am joking, I promise you. Every once in a while, I screw things up for Germ. But, you know, he is a real boy, just like Pinocchio. So he fixes it. So I think, don't quote me on this because I don't actually have any confirmation yet. But I think either tomorrow or Friday I'll probably hop on with Rich for a couple of moments. We'll have to look at the time because, you know, tomorrow I have to go to jail, and then Friday, actually, I'm so honored by this, and I'm not bragging, but I do have to share. It is the third annual Commonwealth prayer breakfast, the Commonwealth Police prayer breakfast, and for the third year in a row I have been asked to be one of the presenters, to say a couple of words. So I am stoked about that. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yesterday on Facebook, I came across a post by a friend of mine, and I shared it. Because it is extremely important. And I'm going to read part of it to you, if you don't mind. I don't think he's going to mind. This is a retired Richmond Police homicide detective who posted this yesterday. He says, I was born in the city of Richmond and raised with my two sisters by a single mother. I attended Ginter Park Elementary School, Thomas Henderson Middle School, and John Marshall High School. From there, I enrolled in Virginia Commonwealth University, then applied for the Richmond Police Department in 1991. There was a hiring freeze at the time, but I was eventually hired in 1993 and graduated from the 69th Basic Academy class. I began my Richmond Police Department career in First Precinct, where I was a patrol officer until 2002. I was transferred to Youth and Family Services as a detective, where I investigated crimes committed by and against children. In 2004, I transferred to the Major Crimes Unit, where I was a homicide detective from 2004 until my retirement in 2020. Now, I should point out that this particular gentleman is a recipient of our Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor. He's the salt of the earth. He's one of the best of the best. He continues, I mention all of the above not to brag, but to make you aware of my love and commitment to the city of Richmond in general and to the Richmond Police Department in particular. Recently, it's been brought to my attention that Richmond City Judge David Hicks has many times accused Richmond police officers of being racist in open court. I will not address Mr. Hicks as honorable because he has proven that he is not. Many Richmond police officers have told me about how Mr. Hicks treats them. To be clear, the officers have told me that Mr. Hicks has not only accused white officers of being racist, but has also accused black officers of being racist as well. This is being done in open court. Therefore, the general public is present when these lies are levied against the officers. Prosecutors from the Richmond Commonwealth Attorney's Office are probably present in court when these allegations are made, but may or may not report what they witness, since the Commonwealth Attorney's Office is political in nature and they may fear losing their job. Similarly, members of the Richmond Police Department may also fear reprisals since they, generally, are not allowed to speak publicly about what they are subjected to, which is why they turn to retired members of the department. Since I became a Richmond police officer. I've always been an advocate for survivors of crime in the city of Richmond, but I've also been an advocate for the men and women of the Richmond Police Department and will continue to do so despite my retirement. No matter where I work currently or in the future, I will always consider myself a Richmond police officer. He sent a note as well. He says, Jeff, another point one of the officers made is that there's a shooting in the city just about every day. There's a hue and cry about gun violence and curbing it. So these officers are being proactive, making arrests for concealed weapons, getting guns off the streets. And this judge is humiliating them in open court. Wow. We lost a great officer who happened to be black working in First Precinct. He was ridiculed in every case he had in that courtroom. He finally had enough. He left 2 years ago to go to another department. He was absolutely disgusted how he was treated. Wow. Now, I'm in an interesting situation here, and I'm proud of it. And I apologize, Jerem, I just looked at the clock, but I'm proud of it. Law enforcement officers in Central Virginia know that they have a friend in this program. And what I would say to those who have been subjected to this sort of activity in that courtroom, you can send me a note. You do not have to identify yourself if you fear some sort of reprisal or punishment. But please send me a note, Jeff@thejeffcatshow.com, Jeff@thejeffcatshow.com, or you can use Facebook or X. Send me something over there. This is an important story. It has to be addressed. Is there a reporter who is capable of doing it? Well, I've got a couple of ideas. I'm thinking, number one, about John Burkett, crime insider at CBS6. If anybody's going to know what's going on in one of those courtrooms, it is Burkett. So I call upon my friend John to pay some attention to this. CBS6 is doing a great job. I think Tyler Lane and Melissa Hippolyt are doing great work over there. You ought to be looking into it as well. Just a couple of ideas. And again, if you're on the job or you've been through that courtroom and you've been subjected to this, you let me know. All right. I will share it. We will pass it along. We'll try our best to get some sort of an investigation. Maybe this is a Jason Meyari's attorney general investigation that needs to be commenced. We'll talk about it all, I promise you. Barry Moore from the Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia joins us in a moment. 329 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 336 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, you know, every other Wednesday. My friend Barry Moore joins us. Barry is the president and the CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia. I take a great deal of pride in sharing a couple of things. My own personal business is Better Business Bureau accredited. Jeff Katz, CPS, right? Certified Professional Speaker. That's what I do. And it's something that to me is incredibly valuable. I always try to lead with trust. That's what the BBB instills, I think, in everybody who's dealing with them. But in addition to that, this here little radio station, WRBA, is Better Business Bureau accredited. And the very finest businesses are those, in my opinion, that go through the accreditation process. And when I can share with you that this company or that company is BBB accredited, well, you know, you can start with trust. It's a big thing. Barry, I welcome you as always, my friend.
Great to hear you, Jeff, and glad to be on the show.
Do me a favor, if you would. I talked a little bit, obviously, about what I consider to be the benefits of BBB accreditation for businesses. But there's some real palpable things that the Better Business Bureau offers to accredited businesses and only to accredited businesses. You want to share some of those with the listeners?
Yeah, I do. And it's great to talk about it because, you know, we open each day for the consumer market as well as the accredited businesses, and we just want good relationships and good communication. And what I can tell you is, just like you, when you came to my office and I explained a little bit more about accreditation, it was the aha moment. A lot of people believe they know everything there is to know about everything in life, right? And we have different groups getting together, and they're talking about all sorts of things. But what I find is when people come to our office, meet our staff, learn our program, see the benefits we offer, it all comes together, whether you're a consumer and or a business owner doing a podcast or participating in Ignite program conversations, because the topics are around the pillars that we set that are priorities to us that affect every single one of us in this community. Right. So we're doing things, we're uniquely different. We are a unique product, and we're not for everybody, but we are. And the consumer pays nothing for this, the information that they get at BBB.org.
If I'm a business owner, I know what I went through, but for somebody else who's listening right now, they have whatever sort of the business it is, and they're thinking, okay, I'd like to explore this. I want to learn a little bit more. What do they do?
It's the easiest way to go. You go BBB.org, read about the accreditation and the application process. You complete the application in about 10 minutes. You submit it, and then it's vetted. And then you hear from somebody on our staff that will tell you the information you're missing, or then, okay, welcome, and here are the benefits. And, Jeff, we just had a Mason come in today, a wonderful guy, hardworking man, been accredited for about 15 years. And he said, you know, I should have taken this serious and gotten more involved in the brand because you guys can really help me grow. I didn't do it. I kept fighting it. I just paid the bill, and I didn't do anything. And he was mad at himself, but he left a happy guy. So
It's interesting. I mean, truly, Barry, the Better Business Bureau in many ways helps to market those accredited businesses. You've got certainly the seal. You've got the sign that you can put on your window, all that cool stuff. It's all wonderful. And you have the BBB accreditation. I have it on stationery. I've got it on website, everything. But in addition to that, if somebody calls the Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia today and says, hey, I'm looking for a Mason, can you tell me? I mean, you can say, well, we have Barry Moore is an accredited business. He is a stonemason, and here's how you would get in touch with him. It really does become an extension of the marketing division.
It's your marketing team should be part of the BBB brand. Now, we don't recommend or say, I could say in that case, here's three Masoners that you can find at BBB.org.
Right.
Consider going to them. You know, Jeff, there's so many people, business people, entrepreneurs that have everything on the line. Their time is of value. Money is time. Time is money. Money is time. And they just don't get it because they feel somewhere along the line that the BBB was never what it really is. I don't know what happened. It's communication. And, you know, I'm here just to make sure it's clear. So, you know, this guy today, I mean, we talked about what he's trying to do to grow. Well, he's losing contracts maybe for $3,000 cheaper. And I go, I already know why. The customer is looking at price, shopping price. You did a terrible job telling you the value you provide. Mm-hmm. Forget all the marketing and advertising. You're not telling the why to do business with you. And the other companies are getting deals that are unlicensed, uninsured, and they're not accredited by the BBB. Right. He goes, how did you know that? Because I'm in the business world. So I don't care if you're in automotive. I don't care if you're in painting, electrical, plumbing, speech writing. I mean, media, the TV stations, everybody. I have depth of knowledge that very few people in this town can give you. And that's what I do. I mean, no charge. I mean, you become accredited. I work for you. I work with you to help you do your best.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want to take anything away from you, Barry, but there's a whole team over there that is on the case. They're just it's such a great, great team effort, such imaginative people, professional people. One of the things that has really taken off, it's called Ignite Sparked by BBB Conversation. And I know this was, you know, this is one of those things you said, man, we've just got to offer a great opportunities for people. And it's open to everybody, right? You don't have to necessarily be this, that, or the other. There's so many
pieces
of information. Now the one coming up, is it this Thursday? Tomorrow you've got one coming up.
Tomorrow is a special one. We have Dr. Billy Irvin, and Jennifer from Bon Secours. Billy is an oncologist. I call him Billy because I met him through a friend of mine that dealt with him. Okay. And he is a wizard. And he does oncology, breast oncology, and breast cancer. And he also does research and development. And Jennifer's coming to also, Jennifer Jones is going to be talking about strokes, Jeff, about strokes and how to be aware of them and what to do. And don't wait. I did this class about 10 years ago at Bon Secours. It blew me away. It's stuff we need to know. So I hope tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. at our 100 East Forgot, we have a packed house. You just call me, leave a voicemail, 521-6940. Say, Barry, I'm coming. Or if you just show up, I don't care. We got plenty of seats. We do not want to keep this a secret. And there's nothing, especially in the media right now. You know, I had prostate cancer. You know, when they're seeing this stuff in the news now, at least the scores of 9 and stuff, I mean, it's scary when you can prevent someone, not prevent, but if you can to find out and then get treatment is what I meant to say. Yeah. That's the key. That kept me alive. You know, I'm still here. So I want to make every day count.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing it for you. You're doing it for so many others. A lot of us, legitimately, Barry, we just cherish you and value everything that you do. Talk a little bit about some of the things that Evie is doing over there with the podcasting. I was just in last week, guys. As you know, I got a new book, and Evie said, "Hey, come on in. Let's have a chat. Let's tell all of our membership about it, everybody about it. You're an accredited business. That's not just me. I mean, I'd love to think that she only reached out to me because I'm so fascinating. The book is great, but it's open to other accredited businesses. Correct?"
Well, you are the top of the list for Evie and myself and our whole team. And yeah, when I say I, Barry, it's not I. You know that. You've been around me. It's our whole team. I comes with 10 other people. So that's the beautiful part. And Evie has done an amazing job. She's handling topics that, you know, that are a little uncomfortable for people because we're not saying the same old thing that are being heard at other meetings and other award shows and, you know, diversification and all segregation. We want everybody to be together and grow together, family unit. Carl Leonard said it all the time. He doesn't have men and women. He has human beings. They're not a color. He's got human beings. And that's how you have to treat people. That's the future of our community and where economic growth can really puts the pedal to the metal. You can bring all the companies here, but let us then take over for those people that brought the companies here and the companies that invested. Let's get the best workforce. Let's get the best consumers. And that's what Evie's doing, educating and bringing up topics that are uncomfortable. Things that should be talked about sometimes are uncomfortable, Jeff. As you know, we're not radio stars. We're not like you. We're not political. But we are staying neutral. But we're just saying, and as a young woman, she has really got some great things planned for the rest of the year. And students, we want students this summer to come in. We want moms and dads to come with their kids and learn together, not to get ripped off, what it's like to go to a food bank. What are the important things to have a bank account and work with Virginia Credit Union and their team to build a credit, you know, an account that now you have a budget. So anyway, hope that answers the question. Thank you.
It does. Listen, and I'm not spilling any beans, but I know there's some big plans over there at Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia, some ideas that are getting kicked around that, it's going to blow everybody's socks off when they hear about it, Barry. Remind everybody.
You're right.
Very quickly now, again, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., it's such a valuable discussion. They can call you and say, hey, Barry, I'm coming, or they can actually just show up. You said 100
just show up.
Drive.
Yeah, it's right here. It's Bon Secours, Dr. Billy Irving, and it's a big deal. I mean, and learn about strokes and prevention, and I'm sure Jeremy wants his time back. You better go.
Well, no, I'm going to get yelled at, but it's okay. Finally, for those who are the business people, Barry, this is vital. This is vital. I'm a business owner. I know the value of BBB. I can talk about it all day long. People may listen. They may not listen. But I want them to call you and have that conversation or at least go to the website. So just give everybody that information one more time.
BBB.org, 521-6940. And I challenge all of your friends, all your advertisers, to pick up the phone, come and visit with me. Let me come to your business. Just spend 5 minutes. I'm not here to prove anything. I'm here to help you enhance what you've already done because there's no way that any business owner knows everything. So let's keep learning together.
I love it. Barry, we love you, man. Thank you for taking time for us. That is Barry Moore. Yes, he is a friend. Yes, he's an amazing human being. And what he does over there at the Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia is just without compare. I will remind you, WRBA is an accredited business. Now, that's important. That you may like the station, you may like this, I don't care. But to go through the accreditation process, remember, this is not mandatory. But it says a lot. My business, remember, I go to great lengths. I take great pains to separate my job, which is this, between 3 and 6, and my business, which is public speaking and writing and coaching and all that other cool stuff that I do. But my general mangler said, hey, you can talk about it on there. Believe me. I said, well, you know, I don't like to get it mixed up. He said, oh, no, believe me when I tell you, if you're doing it too much, I will let you know. And if you know our general mangler, then you would know. He would have no problems at all saying, hey, you're doing it too much. So I will tell you that my business, and you can find it, jeffkatz.us. He said I could do a shameless plug for myself. So there you go. jeffkatz.us. You'll see what I do. It is Better Business Bureau accredited. That is vital to me. I grew up in a household. We didn't have anybody do any work on anything. We didn't buy anything. We didn't have any services unless that business was, in fact, BBB accredited. That's how loyal, if you will, my dad was to BBB. So, again, you can check my stuff out if you want, jeffkatz.us, but BBB.org is where you go for the Better Business Bureau. Great people. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Hey, there's some new stuff going in over at West Broad Village. A new owner, West Broad Village, apparently has some ideas to fill in one or two of the areas that are still kind of sort of open space over there. I don't know where you're going to go squeeze it all. There's a lot of room left, but they say they're going to do it, so that's going to be interesting. What's the real story with the sudden resignation of yet another LeVar Stoney appointee? We'll talk about that as we head into the 4 o'clock hour. And I'm taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I met Stan Andruski's son today at Certified Auto Repair. You are absolutely correct. He is one of the most polite people I've ever met. Stan and his wife Megan should be so proud of him. I know they are. God bless their family. I wish more parents would raise their children that way. Richard, you are spot on, Richard. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 405, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yeah. No, that's all. I think I see a slight clearing in the weather. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Might be nice over the next couple of days. In fact, this weekend's supposed to be perfect. Sunny, with a daytime high like 71, 72. So I'm thinking a couple of good days for Julia Baguglia to get out there on the deck. It's kind of weird around our house right now. I just have to share this with you. Because Harry, you know, is home, but he's not here today because he's up in D.C. visiting friends. And Joe is back, which means Emily's back, and they're, you know, they're out doing Joe and Emily things. So we've got, like, this full house, even though at the moment we don't. And then here's the weird part, and here's the part that's a little, I guess kind of bittersweet is the best way that I could describe it. We're in the last week and a half for Julia to be part of the school system, right? Friday a week will be the last day that she attends school, and then Saturday a week we'll have the commencement, graduation, whatever you call it. And then I don't know. It's weird. It's just thoroughly weird. It's surreal because you look, or I look, Heidi looks at Julia and you say, okay, well, look, kiddo, you're 22 years old and you're now, you know, you're graduating from like 16th grade, if you will. And now what are we going to do? Because I can't have you sitting at home or standing at home even. watching cartoons all day. I mean, either the great kids shows like Jack's Big Music Show, you know, that's fine, but not all day. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. You don't need to tell me anything one way or the other, and there you have it. But I did want to share that because it's a little odd. It's a little odd at the moment. Remind you about the James River Air text line, all right? 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. A few more days, I will have the thoroughly over-the-top, obnoxious, annoying full-court press to once again be nominated for the best afternoon radio show in Richmond. I am urging you, begging you, beseeching you to please go to go.richmond.com/the best. Go.richmond.com/the best. There are a whole slew of great people to be nominated for a whole bunch of categories, and I am going to share them. I know I'm a little remiss, a little behind in getting that up on social media, but I will get that done, I promise you. My suggestions, you don't have to agree with them, although, you know, let's not kid ourselves, they're right, but you don't have to agree with them. The only one that, at the moment, certainly on this program, is The Jeff Katz Show as the best afternoon radio show. Again, go.richmond.com/the best. So another resignation of another LeVar Stoney appointee, and call me crazy. I'm kind of scratching my head, trying to figure out what the rest of the story is. You know, like Paul Harvey used to say, and now you know the rest of the story. What is the rest of the story? And at what point does our now not all that new mayor, Dr. Donny Avuoli, start firing people and hiring people? Not necessarily in that order, I suppose. I mean, maybe you hire them first, then you... No, I guess you have to fire the people you're replacing first. Or at least bid them farewell and collect their name badges. But how do you keep all these LeVar Stoney holdovers in place, Dr. Donnie? Honestly, what are you doing down there? So I'm totally willing to say you weren't responsible for the water crisis. Although I guess now it's water crises, right? Because it wasn't just the water treatment plant, but then it was the whole fluoride thing. Hey, we're putting way too much fluoride in. Now we're not putting any fluoride. Well, what the hell is fluoride? I think was the official statement from City Hall. So that one's on you. But the first one was not on you, Dr. Donnie. But the next one was on you. And there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there that you just don't seem to be all that involved with. How about the absolute embarrassment of having the superintendent of RPS who can point to nothing as a positive accomplishment, not a single damn thing as he done? Well, we have less than half of the students who are failing. Really? Aw, congratulations. Go take a participation ribbon out of the petty cash drawer, okay? You're pathetic. Pathetic. Wasn't it just last year? Not a single solitary seventh grader in the city of Richmond performed at grade level on the SOL for math. Not a single one. Is that another major accomplishment for the nominal superintendent? He's awful. And I know it's like a never-ending cavalcade of superintendents. Right. During the 13 years I've been here, I can go back and count quite a few. None of them have done anything. They all came to town. It's like that guy was. Is it Harold Hill? I always get the name wrong. It's Harold Hill, right? Who does the Music Man germ? You know this stuff, right? Yeah. I think it's Harold Hill. Is it Henry Hill? No, it's Harold Hill. Yeah. Harold Hill, who comes to town. Oh, look at the shiny stuff. We're all going to be musicians. It's like the guy on The Simpsons, right? Who is it that does that? Because he's going to build a monorail, remember? The Simpsons were going to have a monorail. And, you know, he's going to make everything perfect. And he was going to solve all the problems. I know Leonard Nimoy had one in there, right? Who was it? Gosh, I don't remember. Oh, Lyle Langley. That's it. Remember Lyle Langley on The Simpsons, who was a takeoff on Harold Hill from The Music Man? Lyle Langley was coming to town with the monorail for Springfield. That's what all of these school superintendent dudes are like. They're all like these pitchmen, these showmen who don't accomplish anything for those kids. They fail those children miserably, and then they just move on to something else. Now, I guess this guy figured out that the new mayor doesn't really care, although the new mayor's wife is a school teacher herself, you know. But maybe that's why the mayor doesn't want to do anything with the schools, because he doesn't want his wife to get reassigned or lose her job or something. That's possible. I don't know. It just seems odd, though, doesn't it? So at some point, doesn't Dr. Donnie have to get off the, hey, I just got here bandwagon and say, okay, I'm responsible now. Oh, those tax bills you got? Well, geez. Yeah, I got one too. So see, it's okay. And this lady who's resigning now, and why isn't she gone today there, Mr. Mayor? I mean, if she's not getting the job done and you're the mayor, then shouldn't you have just said, hey, get your stuff and get out? Why are you giving her however long you're giving her to do like a farewell tour? It's an embarrassment. It really is. It's just ridiculous. But I digress. I digress. We'll talk about a few other things. I promise you, 5:05 this afternoon, William Burnett is going to be here. William Burnett is trying desperately to save the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. The Richmond City Sheriff's Office is an absolute disaster. An absolute disaster. And I got to tell you something. We are pretty close to the end as far as the Sheriff's Office is concerned. If we don't have somebody in there new, fix it, forget about it. Forget about it. It's just, it's over. It's over. If we had the mechanism, and we don't in our beloved Commonwealth, believe it or not, we can't remove grossly incompetent people like the city sheriff. Why? Because she was elected. And it's sort of, hey, you wanted her, you got her. Are you really happy with what's going on? Eh, we don't really care. I think that's part of it. I really do. I think there are a lot of folks in the city who just don't care. And she's running it like her own personal little lottery ticket there. She's doing just fine. I'm sure her friends are doing just fine. The actual deputies, they're in a world of hurt. And God help you if you're an inmate at the Richmond City Jail. Whew, man, you may or may not make it to trial. You know what I mean? That's a rough situation. But anyway, we'll talk about that at 5:05. John Reed is dropping by at 4:35. Correct, Germ? I'm looking at that. Yeah, John Reed, who is the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. And I remind you, we love having John on, of course, but the welcome mat is out. You're running for governor or lieutenant governor or attorney general. Hey, I want you on the show. I don't want to hear from everybody who's running for delegate or water commissioner or sewer supervisor or stuff like that. But governor, lieutenant governor, or attorney general, absolutely. The floor is yours. We'd love to have you come and visit. And hopefully we'll get a few folks taking us up on that. And I don't care what letter is next to your name. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio. Yes. Well, I'm telling you. These school superintendents finish up here at RPS, then they go on the road selling monorails in Springfield and live bands to any place that'll have them. Can I take a moment here and say happy anniversary? No, not my anniversary. You know Robbie, the Ford guy over at Certified Auto Repair? It's his four-year anniversary with Certified. You want to talk about a success story? Seriously. Robbie was one of those A-techs. Like, I would pull in. Robbie could hear me coming, which is not necessarily a good thing, I guess, when you got a car. But he could tell me, this was right, this was wrong, we'll take care of it. Thank you very much, Mr. Katz. Now, if I can only break him of the whole Mr. Katz thing, because he's more a friend than anything else. But he was A-tech for a long time. And then he decided, well, I don't know if I want to get dirty every day. And became a service advisor. And was absolutely a superstar as a service advisor at Certified. And then Stan said, you know what? You need to be the manager of Certified. I want to step back a little bit and, you know, go play on my boat and mow the 110 acres at my new estate. I need you as the manager. And so now Robbie, 4 years, after 4 years, is the manager for both Certified Auto Repair and Arts Automotive Service. I'm telling you right now, good things do happen to good people. And he is just one of the best. Absolutely one of the best. So anyway, very happy anniversary to Robbie over there. It's certified good guy. John Reed's going to be along in a couple of moments here. Now, John's got some big stuff coming up, right? This whole battle over right to work, that's a huge issue. Minimum wage, huge issue. There's a big rally for Reed tonight. Where is that? Down in Chesterfield, right? Great American Ranch in Midlothian. So obviously I want John to talk a little bit about that. And lest you think that I'm biased. Well, Jeff, he's your friend and he used to be your coworker. Well, all of that is true. And I very happily signed his nominating petition and very happily had other people sign the petition, had the signs up. I've put signs up, but I want everybody to be on the show. Oh, yeah. LeVar Stoney, open door policy. Bring it. I'd like to chat with him. Ghazala Hashmi. I mean, I won't tell her where the radio station is because, I mean, she doesn't even know where her own home is. But other than that, she should be fine. Abigail Spamberger, love to chat with her. Any of them. The two people that want to be attorney general, who apparently are simply running to be Letitia James South. Yeah, they have an open door as well. 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. The rain is going to be rolling out, although over the next couple of hours, there are going to be some stray showers we're probably going to have to deal with. But once we get through this, just a heads up, it looks really, really nice, at least through Sunday. Partly sunny every day to mostly sunny, and the daytime highs, very manageable, 72, 73, relatively low humidity. So a couple of good days, really, to get out and enjoy them. Coming up at 5:05, William Burnett is going to be here. William Burnett would like to save the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. He's got an election coming up June the 17th in the city. I think early voting may have begun. I'm not quite sure. I'm going to ask our next guest, John Reed, about early voting and when it does or doesn't begin, because I bet you John has a clue. But William would like to save the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. It's an absolute, utter disaster. It's dangerous for everyone. It's out of whack and over budget and understaffed. So we'll chat with him then. Talking about trying to save stuff, I think Governor Youngkin has done a pretty good job these last 4 years or thereabouts, making Virginia the best place to live, work, and raise a family. And there is a Republican ticket that says, yep, we'd like to continue that hard work. Our good friend John Reed is the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor, and I am just thrilled to welcome him to the program. John, thank you for being here, my friend.
Hey, Jeff, I'm excited to be back with you. Interesting news today.
Yeah, very interesting news. Well, I'll tell you what, there's so many issues that impact us here in our beloved Commonwealth. Before we get to any of the ones that I thought we should touch on, you know, like right to work, minimum wage, that sort of stuff, anything that's just kind of jumping out at you today?
Well, I mean, you wake up every morning and poor Danny Avila, the new mayor, is still dealing with dysfunction in Richmond City Hall. Yeah. And, you know, worse than poor Danny Avila, who I do feel bad for, because I think he probably is the one guy with an analytical mind who can come in and try to untangle things. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for the people who bought houses in the city of Richmond or who have apartments in the city of Richmond, condos in the city of Richmond, because everything seems to be so messed up, and nobody seems to be able to fix it after 8 years of LeVar Stoney. And you asked about early voting. You know, the Democrats are in the middle of their primary now. There are six different Democrats who were running to challenge me as lieutenant governor, and one of them is LeVar Stoney. Now, how the guy has the guts and the gall to get up and run after the disastrous 8 years he had as mayor And I mean, that's not just Republicans saying it. I mean, there are a lot of Democrats who privately tell me, "Oh my God, we can't let this guy get anywhere near, the state capitol." You've got Ghazala Hashmi, the senator from Chesterfield, who, as you pointed out, doesn't seem to know where she lives, and that's kind of a joke. But she is really a left wing radical. You've got Aaron Rouse down in Virginia Beach, who, you know, everybody's all excited that he played football for Virginia Tech in the NFL, but when you actually look at his voting record in the Senate, there's some crazy stuff that he's been supportive of. And then you have three people that most Virginians don't know. I mean, the Democrats are telling all of us that they are serious about taking over. They got six different candidates running for lieutenant governor. That says to me they've got organization, they're raising a lot of money, they are hungry, and they are going to do everything they can to take control back. And when you look at what has happened in these Democrat-controlled cities, and you remember what happened when Ralph Northam was governor and LeVar Stoney was mayor, that's, you know, I think we are kind of comfortable that Donald Trump's up in D.C. making some tough decisions on our behalf. We can't afford to backslide here in Virginia.
There's no doubt. If in fact you have the Spanburgers of the world and what have you, then we become California East. But even looking at the attorney general candidates on the Democrat side, they're both running against Donald Trump. They want to be the Letitia James of the South. It's a crazy, crazy situation. And any way you slice it with those folks, we're going to lose big time. John, let me ask you about the former congresswoman who had this interview the other day, and she said, "Well, I'm not going to fully roll back right to work," which means she could roll back 99.9% of it and still, in theory, be telling the truth. What's your sense on the right to work laws now?
Well, I mean, the follow-up question is, what does fully mean? I mean, you know, are you pregnant or are you not pregnant? I mean, you're either allowing people to choose to join the union or not. And if we do away with your right to work, then I'm sorry, you got to join the union if the shop is unionized. And that means you've got to pay money out of your paycheck to the union bosses. And guess where that money goes? To the Democrat Party. I mean, it's the biggest scam going, and we need to expose that. And Abigail Spanberger, you know, she's always been nice to me. Remember, she used to come on the morning show. I think she came on your show maybe a couple of times. Then she stopped doing it. Right. And I think it's because a couple of times I asked her some tough questions, you know, like the follow-up to what does fully enact a repeal mean. Right. The six people running for lieutenant governor, they're not even hedging their bets. They've come right out and said they're going to do away with right to work, which says to me that Abigail is, how do I put this politely, just not telling us the truth. She wants to do away with it too. And when she was in Congress, she was one of the people proposing the PRO Act, which was designed to get rid of the ability of people to exist under the right to work. And I've been traveling around the state, you know, every day. Last night I was in Amherst, and then the day before I was in Accomack over on the Eastern Shore. Then I was in Virginia Beach. Every speech, I explained to people, you've got job opportunities in Virginia because business wants to come here. And if we get rid of your right to work, businesses are going to Tennessee, and they're going to North Carolina and South Carolina and Florida and Texas. They ain't coming to Virginia. So there's a lot on the line here. In a practical sense, for your kids and your grandkids, assuming you want them to stay in Virginia and have opportunities.
I will remind everybody that when Abigail Spanberger was a member of Congress, she also was essentially 100% vote with Nancy Pelosi. She's totally okay with boys taking the scholarship opportunities in girls' sports away from girls and having men inside of locker rooms and bathrooms that should be the private domain of women. It's outrageous stuff. I mean, we still see, I thought Loudoun County would have learned a lesson, John, but here we go again with a student that should not be in one locker room, and boy, there she is.
Yeah, this video that I hope everybody's seen, I posted it on my Facebook page, and I think you did too, Jeff,
yes.
Where a biological woman, who I guess is pretending to be a man, shows up in the locker room and starts to videotape the boys in the locker room. What world are we living in where anybody thinks that's even remotely okay? And what kind of professional world do we have where the school administrators would then try to punish the boys for saying, hey, I don't want to be videotaped in the locker room?
Right.
I mean, this is what I talk about, Jeff, when I say it's time, and it's what made me quit the radio station and decide to do this. I just think we need reasonable and responsible people in these jobs instead of crass social justice warriors who are ready to sacrifice your opportunities and your kids and your future to achieve some sort of bizarre leftist panacea that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Virginia. There always have been differences between Republicans and Democrats, and I used to get along with most people, even if they were Democrats. But the Democrat Party of Virginia has gone like laser speed to the left, and it's really going to damage a lot of lives in this community, and I'm just going to do whatever I can to stand up against it while still being fair to people. You know, I don't like to humiliate anybody. I'm not trying to harm anybody. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be fair to people, but that means you've got to be fair to kind of return to the normal standards of you're a boy, you're a girl, we're not going to debate this, and we're going to allow you to use the facilities that are appropriate with your actual sex instead of making up this bizarre stuff that's happening now.
Absolutely. John Reed is joining us. John is the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. John, a couple of things that I want us to chat about. I want to talk about a big event that's going to be happening moments from now, as I understand it, but you talked about the future. You're talking about opportunities for employment and the rest of it for people to be business owners and operators. The minimum wage is again, a point that your friends on the Democrat side apparently want to keep jacking up and jacking up. Where are we on that? What would they do?
Well, there's six of them, as I mentioned, and one of them posted, I'm looking on my phone right now because I couldn't believe it. I took a screenshot. Proposing a $20 an hour minimum wage.
Wow.
Let's see. This is this guy nobody's heard of, Alex Bastani.
Okay.
I don't think he has a chance of winning. So, of course, what does a Democrat do who doesn't have a chance of winning? He goes to the extreme to try to get attention. And there'll be a lot of leftists who think this is a great idea. You know, what is the living wage? Well, my living wage in the townhouse that I have may be different than your living wage. We both worked at the radio station, but then I went and spent a heck of a lot of money on traveling around the world. And I got two Siberian Huskies. Well, you got three kids, and a wife. You're in a different situation. So it's crazy to try to tag what a living wage is. But I'll tell you, $20 minimum wage, anybody who's run a popsicle stand will tell you, I cannot run an 8-hour operation selling popsicles with one employee at $20 an hour with any benefits. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Yep.
And even if people are paid above the standard minimum wage, what that does is it elevates the cost for everybody across the board, and it destroys economic incentives for business growth.
Sure.
So, we're working with Democrats who I don't want to be mean about it, but they're economically illiterate, most of them, even if they have degrees. That's the crazy thing. Mm-hmm. So we got to stop this insanity.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, I want you to remind everybody, number one, of the website, because I'd like people to go over there, learn more,
help you out
with all of that. And there is a rally for Reed. I hope you're aware of it. It's tonight, John, Great American Ranch in Midlothian. Tell us a little bit about that as well.
I'm going to be there. As soon as I hang up with you, I got one more little phone call, and then I'm hopping over to the Great American Ranch. It starts at 7. We'll probably be there till about 8:30. Maybe, if it's a huge crowd, till 9. But, it's school night, so we're not going to stay out too crazy late. And it just gives me a chance to share with you some of the issues that I'm talking about on the campaign trail. A lot of folks in Midlothian and Chesterfield and Chester have said, hey, you're ignoring you're ignoring us on the south side. Well, no, I'm not. I'm coming over at 7 o'clock tonight at the Great American Ranch. That's at Raised Antler Circle in Midlothian. And, you know, if you can't be there tonight, we're going to have a lot of other campaign events with the John Reed campaign. And you can start by going to the website, which is johnreedforvirginia.com. That's R-E-I-D, johnreedforvirginia.com. You know, honestly, Jeff, there have been so many people who have outside of the Richmond area who didn't listen to WRVA, and they didn't know about what you and I have talked about over the years, and they'd never been to a Politics and Pints. And so I've said, please go to the website and look at the issues that I'm highlighting, and I think you'll really feel good about me being a solid conservative running for lieutenant governor. You know, you won't believe some of the stereotypical garbage that's been said about me in the last few months. You'll feel great that I'm the fighter who's going to stand up for you both during this campaign and if I'm fortunate enough to be elected lieutenant governor.
Well, I am proud to be a supporter. I make no apologies for that. Pretty much from day one, and I look forward to having you out on the campaign trail even more. I know you're racking up the miles, and I remind everybody, I look forward to having your opponent on. Well, any of the six, more than welcome to drop by. I would love to chat with them and explore these issues as well. But John,
you let me know, because I'm going to tune in to hear those.
Well, I love it. We'll absolutely let you know. Are you kidding me? But johnreedforvirginia.com, johnreedforvirginia.com, and then the big event tonight down at Great American Ranch in Midlothian, kicking off at around 7 o'clock. John, it's always good to chat with you.
I miss you guys. Thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate it. It's the one thing about the radio station is like you and Jeremy and producer Dan, and I miss seeing you guys, but I'm out trying to fight a good fight, so thanks for having me.
You are doing that. Thank you, my friend. That is John Reed, and again, I think John is the guy for the job. He is the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. Our side has our ticket together. Lieutenant Governor Winston Sears for governor, John Reed for lieutenant governor, Jason Miari's reelection for attorney general. The Democrats are in the midst of their early voting right now. And lieutenant governor has six candidates on their side. Attorney general has two candidates on their side. And so it's going to be interesting. The future of Virginia is legitimately at stake. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 505, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. There's a little bit of rain. Kind of, sort of sticking around. It's going to be kind of on and off for another hour, couple of hours, depending on where you are. But I am here to tell you that once we get past that, we have beautiful weather. And I do mean beautiful weather right through Sunday. Partly sunny to mostly sunny each of those days. And in addition to that, daytime high temps, depending exactly where you are, 72, 73, 74. So that's going to be some beautiful weather, an absolutely gorgeous weekend in store for us. As you know, I am concerned with what is and is not happening at the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. It's a disaster, in my opinion. The last 8 years have been an absolute disaster. Run into the ground. Staffing is ridiculous. The inmate deaths are just unconscionable. And you have somebody who's running, William Burnett. William Burnett was a law enforcement officer, Richmond police officer, Richmond police sergeant, I don't know, 25, 30 years worth of experience. I think he actually ran the jail operations when Sheriff Woody was in place. But we came across a story the other day about somebody or some people going around stealing campaign signs. So I wanted to get William on to find out exactly what that was all about and then talk about some of the issues, because in the city of Richmond, voting is underway right now. They have early voting in the city of Richmond, and the official election day is June the 17th, but early voting is underway in the city. William, thank you for being here again.
Thank you for having me again, Jeff. I appreciate that, and I understand your concern, and most citizens should understand it as well.
Absolutely. Now, I want to talk about that, but I want to know what's going on with your sign. Somebody was telling me that, upwards of 100 had been stolen. Is that right?
Yes, Jeff. Whoever is behind it, this is orchestrated. It's planned. It's strategic. I've had several residents come out and say, and the worst part, they're using kids. One guy was going up the street driving his car, and two little small kids jumped out, and they went straight down the block and just took all kinds of signs out of people, out of people's yard, actually, you know, just snatching them up. We've lost probably about, I would say, about 200 of them.
Wow. Now, I know that the signs are not inexpensive. They're $5, $6 a piece, so that's a big chunk of cash.
Oh yeah, I think we spent our budget was about $5,000 for those signs that we put out, and for people to come through in a way of as fast as we put them down. I took them out my own yard. I went to the store, came back from the store. I wasn't gone but 30 minutes, and by the time I got back, somebody had gone in my yard and took my signs, my neighbor's, and two of my neighbor's signs.
William, I hate to be the one to cast aspersions, right? I there's a part of me that says, oh, it's just some knucklehead kids. They got nothing else to do. But when the only signs being reported as stolen are the signs heralding William Burnett for sheriff, I don't know. Maybe it's the old comp in me, but there are a couple of spidey senses that are tingling here.
I would say the same thing, Jeff. I would tell you, no youth at that age, even teenagers like the one we caught on a picture that we put out on Facebook, they're not going to go all over the entire city just picking up signs and kicking them over and ripping them up unless somebody is behind them, whether they're paying them or whether they support the current administration. But this is something that's orchestrated. And it's ridiculous because we, at this point, don't even look at her signs. We don't touch them. I don't have anybody bothering them. And, you know, we talk about character, like was said at the last debate we had. And I don't call it character when you got people out there that's doing that type of stuff. Now, I'm not saying the sheriff is behind it, but it's in her favor. I will say that much.
It is shameful. It is absolutely a shameful situation. William Burnett is joining us. William is running for the post, sheriff of the city of Richmond. There is early voting underway right now in the city. The general election day is June 17th. William, let me ask you about any investigation or criminal pursuit with the signs. Is Richmond Police Department investigating now?
I reached out to somebody within the police department, and I was advised what to do to go and take a report. So I went over to the precinct earlier today, but it was, I guess they were tied up. But I will be there first thing in the morning. I'm going to pass on the pictures. I got other videos that another resident gave me. I got license plates to the people that was on in the video. I mean, on the picture that I posted on Facebook, we have their license plate. The resident that confronted them said that they were very threatening. They first said that they were city workers, and then they came back, well, no, we work for, we are supporters of Antoinette Irvin. And that's their words, not mine. That's what they told that citizen.
Let's talk about some of the changes you would institute, William, because there's nobody, in my opinion, unless they are the current sheriff or they work for the current sheriff, who thinks that what's happening at the Richmond City Sheriff's Office and the Richmond City Jail right now is a good situation. I mentioned you bring decades of experience as a Richmond police officer, but you were also with Sheriff Woody, right? You took care of the jail operations.
Correct. I served as lieutenant colonel, which was second in command in that position for the entire 12 years I was there, and we had some amazing results. We turned a $5 million budget deficit into a surplus and gave money back to the taxpayers all 12 years. We, first time ever in the history of the Sheriff Department, we created or reached the accreditation status, state accreditation status, which no other sheriff in that jail had ever reached. We were able to get people off the floor when we got there, which was a $132 million new justice center that was decades old, and we were able to, within our first couple of years, to secure that. We partnered with VCU, VSU, VVU, VSU, VSU, VUU, and VCU. I get them letters right. And we were able to bring classes to the university and from the university to the jail. And these guys were out actually getting their working on their college degrees. So we did some amazing things. And the things that we got to work on going into the new decade to come is the drugs that's flowing in that jail. It's people are dying left and right, overdosing left and right. It's just a bad situation. But one of the things I'm going to put in place to curb some of that, you're never going to stop all the drugs, but I'm going to put a drug detection dog on every single shift. When you come into that jail, you will pass that dog. That will be your only in and exit when it comes to my staff, because the staff are the only ones that come in contact with the inmates in the jail at this time. There will be an end to that in and out. You'll come to work, and when you get to work, you bring what you need, and you won't leave until it's time for you to go home, unless it's an emergency or something to that effect. But we have got to stop the flow of drugs coming into that jail. People are dying left and right. We also got to work on the staffing, and I'm going to look at the staffing in a way of recruiting a football player. I'm going to look outside of the region as far as New York and Florida. I'm going to hit every military base, every college that I can get into, and then I'm going to sell the city on this person. I'm not just going to, you know, try to sell the sheriff department, but we got to sell the city of Richmond. So I'm going to look at all types of ways that we can bring people in here to kill that shortage that they got. It's 8 years later, Jeff, you know yourself, when she first started, she was hundreds of positions vacant, and 8 years later, still 180 positions or 200 positions vacant. So it's a lot to fix down there, but I'm the right person to do it.
Well, I don't doubt that for a second, William, and I look at this situation and I remind people there are some people who perhaps have the mind set that says, well, I'm a law enforcement guy and I want those deputies to be safe in that facility. We're all on that page, you and I and many others. But there's also the reality, and that is that as the sheriff, you have an obligation to keep those inmates safe. And there are a lot of people, you and I both know, that kind of write off the inmates. Oh, well, too bad. They're bad people. They did this. They're still human beings. And it is the obligation of the sheriff to keep them safe. And this sheriff doesn't have enough staffing. We know that. But she's also letting the inmates call the shots, which is resulting, in my opinion, in the deaths of so many of those inmates.
No question. When you don't have the staffing to make the proper rounds, even if somebody, like you say, they people as well, and you get in there, you get hold to some bad drugs, you don't have the staffing to make the proper rounds, then I don't know what to say, but I will say this. The sheriff department doesn't have the staffing issues. It's the retaining them there. That's the question. She hires people. You can FOIA and you can see the people that's being hired. But what she can't do is retain people. And if you don't create an environment for opportunity, if you don't create an environment that's for fairness, if you don't do everything you can make that place safe, then people are going to quit. They're going to go to other agencies. It's not about money, because right now they're close to the surrounding jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And they have the highest staffing losses right now in the state of Virginia.
Wow. That's crazy. Hey, William, I want to remind people, the voting is underway right now. You've got early voting going on in the city of Richmond. People can go and vote if they are city residents. The election day, official election day, is June 17th. But I got to figure you're going to need to replace some signs and the rest of it. I want people to know about you, and heck, I want them to be able to support you. What's the best way for them to do all of that?
You know, we always need financial assistance, and you can go to my webpage at williamburnettforsheriff.org It has a location on there where you can click on and you can donate. And like you say, Jeff, this is a very expensive campaign. Is expensive. And when you losing signs hundreds at a time, and I mean, you find people with cars full of signs, it's costly. So yeah. They can go there. They can work the polls for me. I need people that's going to work the polls. We want to cover the entire city. We're doing door-to-door every single day. If you're interested, you can send me an email. I'll tell you the times and what places where we're going to meet, and we're going to get out there. But, Jeff, we came really, really close the last time, but this time we're going to take it to the team this time.
I hear you. Listen, William, I always appreciate you being here. We will chat again soon. There's no doubt about that. Keep the faith. Get out there and do what you got to do. That is William Burnett. William is running for the post, sheriff of the city of Richmond. And I will say again, in my opinion, this is the last chance for the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. The last 8 years have ground it down to nothing. When Sheriff Irving came in, that Richmond City Jail was a state-of-the-art accredited facility. I understand nobody wants to spend their free weekend at the jail. I got it. But if you had to be in a jail, the Richmond City Jail at that point was as good as it could get and fully staffed. Now, 8 years later, it is an absolute, it's a pit of despair. And William says he's the guy to go in. Remember, for 12 years, Lieutenant Colonel for Sheriff C.T. Woody. He knows that jail inside and out. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:36, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and I'm happy to report rain has officially been removed from the forecast. And so from now right through Sunday, the worst you're going to see is a partly cloudy sky. But for the most part, it's going to be sunny or partly sunny. And the daytime highs, man, I'm talking about just a couple of great days. Daytime highs, 72, 73. Overnight lows, 60. We'll take it. We'll absolutely take it. You know, we wrapped up National Police Week last week. And, of course, as a former cop, it's very important to me. We spent a lot of time talking about that. And we were just chatting with William Burnett, who is doing his best, I think, to save the Richmond City Sheriff's Office from the utter abomination it has become over the last 8 years. Mismanagement, a thoroughly unsafe work environment, a thoroughly unsafe jail for the inmates, etc. So, I mean, it's a tough situation that he's in, and they have early voting going on in the city of Richmond right now. The official voting day is going to be June the 17th, and whoever wins that day is going to be the new sheriff. We'll see which way it goes. I mean, I don't know. I think it's really, really the last effort that's going to be possible to even mount to save the sheriff's office. Mike Dickinson joins us every Wednesday. Mike is our citizen reporter, citizen journalist. He knows a thing or two. I mean, he actually ran for sheriff a number of years ago. And now he does a lot of work all over the country. He was spending some time out in Chicago, and I wanted him to update us on some stuff out there. Mike, I appreciate you being here, my friend.
Anytime for you, Jeff. Anytime.
You are you're a good man. So I know that you spend a lot of time on the road and you're not working 100% in Richmond. But this time out in Chicago that you're working, you put it to pretty good use, right?
Yeah. So every time I'm out and I'm traveling around doing things for work and everything, I like to try to do something locally to learn more. And one of the great things I've been able to do in Chicago is take part in their Citizens Police Academy. I did it in Richmond quite a few years ago, but I wanted to do it in Chicago also. Chicago, you know, one of the top three biggest cities in America, one of the top three biggest police forces in America, one of the oldest, most historic, and they were at some of the epicenter of all of the riots and the hate aimed at them in 2020 when everyone got mad at law and order in America.
Right, right. So did you learn anything different out there? Anybody say anything or do anything that just sort of rocked you on your heels a little bit?
Well, some of the stuff that I saw that was very interesting, it was a class, and it was about probably 50 or 60 people, and it was a wide, diverse group. You know, Chicago is a very diverse city. There's a lot of Latino population. It's heavy African-American population, and all of these people in this class were there, and they were like, I mean, two of the people I got to know best were elderly African-American women, and they were constantly saying that they wish the police could be more aggressive because they have such a problem with criminals and crime in their communities and gang members, and how these days they don't understand how the police can even do their job with everybody wanting to criticize them and the media lying about them. You know, one of the great things is to really experience what a police officer goes through is to literally walk in their shoes. And they have this thing, the simulator, where you come up on an event and you have to literally decide within 2 to 3 seconds if you're going to shoot the perpetrator or not, and determine if he has a weapon, if he's a threat or what. And it's literally crazy to think how we've demonized the media. The media in America has demonized the police to be such bad people when they literally have 2 to 3 seconds to decide to live or die. And you know, my instructor in all of this, the instructor for the class, he told us a great story. He's a young 30-something-year-old African-American guy. He had joined the police force and been on the Chicago police force for about 3 years. He was out on patrol one night. He was on his way back to the station, and he's sitting there thinking about, well, what am I going to do today? I'm going to go eat breakfast. I can't wait to go home. He gets a call because someone's having a mental health crisis, as the Democrats like a mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. So he rolls up on it, and he's there, and the guy seemingly is all normal and everything, and then the guy out of nowhere pulls out a knife and proceeds to stab him 3 times.
Wow.
So 3 times, and that's literally, you know, we sit here and we criticize the police. Oh, police brutality. Oh, the police are heavy-handed. Well, the police officers, their job is to go home at the end of the night. They have kids to go. They have a wife. They have families to go home to. And just because you want to protect people who are idiots that mean them harm, you can't demonize the police. I mean, this guy, my instructor, you know, he had to not only deal with the medical effects of being stabbed 3 times, but then the mental health crisis that he suffered from that, and going back out on the field, and now all of a sudden every interaction being like scared, like, what should I do? Should I be ready to shoot, or should I hold back? If I see somebody interacting with another officer, should I be right there ready to go, or should I hold back because someone's got an iPhone recording me and they're going to clip out the part where I give the person every chance to walk away before I have to take force and use force against them?
Yeah. I tell you, it's never been an easy job. It has gotten more and more difficult. And you're right. Everybody has got a cell phone. They're ready to shoot a partial video. They're ready to edit the video they do shoot. It's just crazy. But I'm glad that there are citizens who not only stand with the police, Mike, but take the opportunity to learn more about what they go through and then share those stories. Mike, I always appreciate you being here, my friend. That is Mike Dickerson, our citizen reporter. 543, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 551, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Now, we've got some great stuff coming up tomorrow in the afternoon, but I do want to remind you that in the morning, Richmond's Morning News, Rich Herrera, is going to be looking at the race for Commonwealth's attorney in the city of Richmond. It's going to be interesting. Look, Colette McEachin has been there a while. She's, I don't know, nice lady. I'm sure she is. Most notable for many people because she was married to Donald McEachin. And she doesn't seem all that interested, though, in pursuing criminal matters. Right? Commonwealth's attorney is the prosecutor. Whatever area you're living in, city or county, that's the prosecutor. And in the city of Richmond, it's Colette McEachin. But she just doesn't seem to have any problem at all not prosecuting people who commit crimes. And then if she does wind up accidentally, inadvertently prosecuting them, then turning around and cutting a deal and essentially letting them go. So I don't know. I mean, I'll be tuning in tomorrow to try and learn more about it. The other things that are going on with that judge in the city of Richmond, that Judge Hicks, I will see if I get any more insight this evening. And if I do, I promise I will share it with you. Some of the stuff that is being shared is just absolutely outrageous. Hey, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, once again proves why he will either be running for president or vice president in the next couple of years. Who is he with? Chris Van Hollen, the doofus from Maryland. Cut number five, please.
And I have to tell you directly and personally that I regret voting for you for Secretary of State. I yield back.
May I respond?
You may, sir.
Well, first of all, your regret for voting for me confirms I'm doing a good job based on what I know. Well,
that's just a flippant statement, Mr. Secretary.
Can I respond, Mr. Chairman?
You
Mr.
may.
I didn't ask.
Senator,
questions.
Please let the Secretary
well,
have
I'd
the
be
floor.
Happy to, but then I can respond to his.
Your
response.
Time's up, Senator, and woefully well, used, I might add.
Well, it's.
And woefully used. In other words, you're a nitwit. But wait, there's more. Secretary of State Marco Rubio once again takes Maryland Senator Van Hollen to school. Cut number six.
In the case of El Salvador, absolutely. Absolutely. We deported gang members. Gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and that and the evidence is going to be clear. In the days to come, you're
Chairman,
going to see who you went to
look, defend.
Senator,
I'm sorry,
please,
Mr.
Secretary
Chairman.
Secretary Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated
Senator,
comments like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor. You
Secretary
had your
Rubio
time.
Should take that testimony to the federal
Senator,
court of the United States because
well,
he hasn't done it under oath.
Here's another point, okay? There is a division in our government between the federal branch and the judicial branch. No judge in the judicial branch cannot tell me or the president how to conduct foreign policy.
Hmm. Well, you should probably write that one down there, Senator Van Hollen. I don't know. We have like these three branches, right? There's in the federal government, executive, legislative, judicial. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of a... like a phrase. There should be something that reminds us, right, that we keep the powers of each branch separated or separate. I'm just spitballing here, but what about like separation of powers? Would that work? I don't know. I'm spitballing. I'm throwing stuff for the wall to see if anything sticks. If it
President
sticks,
Trump
let me know.
Incited an erection.
Well, no, that he might have. I don't know. I mean, I like President Trump, make no mistake about it, but even I draw the line at anyway. So I think there's a separation of powers. And I think that Secretary of State Marco Rubio has edumacated Senator Van Hollen, who was last seen enjoying a nice tall, cool, frosty beverage. With a gang-banging a thug down in El Salvador. But, you know,
what
yeah,
a maroon.
Nice yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hey, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., do me a favor, tune in to Rich Herrera, Richmond's Morning News. It's going to be interesting, as always. We got great stuff coming up tomorrow, and you got a moment here. Go to go.richmond.com/thebest. Nominate the Jeff Katz Show as Best Afternoon Radio Show. Go. .richmond.com/thebest. Nominate the Jeff Katz Show as the best afternoon radio show. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.